Recording, Win.
Okay. Welcome, everybody. Just a moment. Don't go away. Don't go away. Hang on.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
Happy Halloween. This is Monday, October 31st. Winfrey and Terry Brown in Sedona. And this is a, what do you call it, a simulcast between a conference call and BBS Internet Radio. And I apologize for getting on so late. The guy who owns BBS has been answering the door with trick-or-treaters all night. he had to delay our show. I'm trying to see if he's listening. Are you listening to that, Don? No, he's not listening.
There's got to be a really good joke in there somewhere.
There's got to be a really good joke.
There somewhere.
Yes.
Don't you have the other microphone? Because this sounds kind of not so good.
This doesn't sound good?
No.
You see that? Just before we started tonight, I went with Terry, and I said, which of these sounds better? And she says, this one. And let's try this one.
I thought this one sounds better.
We have the never-ending battle for the perfect to come through my little cell phone. Hang on, I'm switching. Okay.
In the meantime, I want to welcome those folks who just joined us. This is the BBS call, and if you want
okay.
to say your name and how does this
sound, Hayes?
Great.
This is better?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now, do we have anyone new on tonight?
A few people said hello, but we had another few people come in, and we had also one silent background caller, so there might be new people on the phone.
Okay. Because I put we had a number of people that downloaded the book, the Creator Guide book, and I invited them onto this line, and this line, we've actually been doing this call on Monday nights for quite some time, and I decided to do an introductory talk tonight, but being that it's Halloween, it may not have been the best night to do it. If anyone's new on the line, I'm not going to engage you or embarrass you. I just want to know, just say yes if you're on the line for the first time.
Yes.
Yes, great. Okay. Thank you. So we also have people listening on BBS, so we'll figure that there's people listening on BBS for the first time as well. And I assume that most of the people that are listening probably read my book that I gave away for free and have been getting occasional emails from me. And we have a cat on the line. Hang on a second. Let me...
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
So we just muted everybody. Is Daphne on the line, by the way? No, I have to unmute everybody. See.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Daphne, are you on the line? Going once, going twice.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
All right. Okay. Everyone's muted. And there'll be time for questions. And if you're new and you feel like making a comment, I'd love to have you, but no obligation until you're comfortable. Obviously, if you've read the book, if that's all you've done, it sounds like a science fiction story. And
I'm going to get a little closer to the microphone.
Get closer to the microphone?
Yeah, I think so. Because
okay.
It changes out a little bit.
Okay, is that better?
Yes.
Okay, now next time he's going to say, stop breathing into the mic, but we'll go with it. Okay. It's very hard to believe that the kinds of things that could happen that are talked about in the book could actually happen to someone. And when I was younger, I would be exposed to spiritual people. I remember that my father had the attitude that everyone always had an angle. And so the question was, what was that angle? There always, I guess, an angle was another, his word for agenda. And then I remembered discovering Yogananda, Autobiography of the Yogi, if anyone has ever read that. And this guy told the story in that book of all these miracles that happened to him in India. And it's like his face was so sincere. I remember saying to myself, I wonder what his angle is. And I don't think he had an angle. I think he was coming from a pure intent to bring spirit to America. And he used the form of yoga to do that. But if you've never been exposed to him, you can look him up. His name is Paramahansa Yogananda. Well, one of the things that's so unique about my experience is, whether you think I have an angle or not, we do things very publicly all the time. And we have so many circumstances of people that are having experiences, people that have had healings, and that anyone can listen in and watch it, and things that I couldn't make up, starting with my sister's healing, starting with having two women in my life that start channeling a voice that says they created this realm, having the opportunity to ask endless questions, walking into a room to give a talk, and the room floods with light, and I ask them, could you explain that light? And they tell me that was us helping you. So the thing about this is, if you're here and checking this out for the first time, and if you read the book was the beginning. It's not the end. It's a book. It's just freezing a series of events that happened to me, and so that other people can partake. But the truth of the matter is that this has been going on nonstop. We do conference calls 3 times a week. We do planetary healings. And one of the most amazing phenomena that occurs when we do these, particularly on our Sunday call, is people can feel energy on the line. Now, if you can just imagine that there's such a thing as a bunch of energies at the beginning of the universe outside of time. We have to imagine it because we can't see it. I have to imagine it. I have to imagine it. That's it. How do I know they are who they say they are? How do I know this can be real? And I asked them, I said, well, how do you work with this realm? And they said, we project love, light, energy into your realm when people ask. And that was like way at the beginning, 2002. And at that time, I may have been experiencing the energy, but I didn't identify it as such. I didn't recognize it. You know, it's a rather subtle energy, and it kind of blends so seamlessly with your own energy that it takes a while to say, that's it, I can feel it. Now, of course, if you're a skeptic, which I happen to be a skeptic, so I always ask questions. I said, I wonder if it's the power of suggestion. And I wonder if we're getting hypnotized. I wonder if Terry's crazy, making it up. You know, I had a test for years. Is Daphne crazy? And then, of course, there were a couple of incidents that were actual phenomenal shifts in the sense of when I, very first time, I said, can you predict a newspaper headline? And then they successfully did so. And they said, watch for this in 2 weeks. And 2 weeks later, there it was. And then, of course, 4 months later, there was my phone call from my brother-in-law and my sister going in the hospital, expected to die, and I asked if they could help. and they said they could. My sister survived this very critical operation. And at that point, I thought it was coincidence. I was sure it was coincidence. And a few weeks later, I get another call from my brother-in-law. He says, something really strange happened. Joanne went into the had to go into the hospital for tests, and the nurse said the cancer had disappeared, that there was something wrong with her test because her lupus had disappeared, and lupus never goes away. Well, that was quite a striking kind of revelation. And now I say, geez, I think they did it. I went back and I asked them in a session, I said, how did you guys do that? And they said, well, we just projected a filter into her blood and took the lupus out. And so now when we're on this line, they say, they're paying attention to everyone on the line. And that as you open up, you can feel the way their attention feels to you. And you notice as I'm saying this, I said they're paying attention. Did you notice a shift in that moment? It happens every time. I'm not doing that. I've learned when I start talking about them and when I start saying how they function, how they operate, suddenly there's a shift. Now, if you're listening and you've got your kids screaming in the background, television on, the TV, you know, the radio on, whatever, you may not feel the energy. And so if you want to, please go into a quiet place, shut the door, tell everyone to leave you alone, don't answer your cell phone, because too many people have felt the energy on these lines for it to be an accident. Now, you know, we're not charging anything for these phone calls, not because we have a lot of money, but because I have this conviction that this kind of experience should be available to anyone who reaches for it. And it's also very hard to sell. I mean, imagine me running a big ad saying, Winfrey is talking to the source that created the physical universe. It'll be showing up tonight at the First Unitarian Church, and you'll feel them in the room, okay? Now, people will read an ad like that, and they will go unconscious and say, this guy's a wacko. I can't advertise it. So this has got to be done in such a way so that people are given the time to have an experience themselves, to have their own experience, and not to be charged for it, and or not to be charged very much, because this is not a commodity. You know what a commodity is? Commodity is eggs. Everyone knows what eggs are. Everyone knows if they go to the supermarket and they get medium-grade eggs, it might cost $1.99, it might cost $1.50, it might cost $3, but everyone knows what an egg is. Everyone knows who Barry Manilow is, most people. If you put a sign up that says Barry Manilow is playing at the local theater, people will show up because they know what to expect. They'll pay $40 at the door to get a seat. Now, if you put up a sign that said, Winfrey will be talking to the Elohim at the local theater, and it's $750 or $100 or $30, I don't think anyone would show up. It's because I'm not a commodity. The fact of having these kinds of conversations...
Entry and exit times are off.
...is something that is really out there. So people have to get their own experience.
And I tell them, don't even believe it. Just show up and feel it. On our Monday night calls, we have had discussions with them through Terry, and I just pick a topic, usually a half hour before the call, an hour before the call. And quite frankly, it took me a while to develop the courage to ask about certain topics, because, I mean, if they're who they say they are, what can and what can't I ask in front of a public group like this? And so we ask questions like, how did you create the universe? How did sex get started? Tell us about flying saucers. You know, we have a whole archive section. You can go through it and listen. Where did humans come from? How does DNA work? What about this graduation that we're hearing about? What is this shift? And we may be getting it from the horse's mouth. We have hundreds of these calls. They're not very well organized, but they're available in an archive. Some of them are transcribed, and anyone can browse them and make their own, draw their own conclusions. So, myself, you know, it took me probably a few years of this to believe that even maybe they were who they said they were. I left myself in a very neutral space for the beginning. Even after my sister's healing, I was not about to prostrate myself and believe they were who they say they were. But I was open to the possibility. I mean, if you look at my position, if you put yourself in my shoes, there I was writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And, of course, that book is about David Wilcock, written with David Wilcock. And it's the story of David in a period of his life when he was being a voice for interdimensional sources. And I happened to have discovered him, and I started reading his channelings, and I said, this is really important. And I interviewed him, for a magazine I was writing for, and the editor invited me, casually said, after the interview, Lynn, I think you're right. I think he's Edgar Cayce, and I think you're the guy that's supposed to write the book about it, which I did with David. And so in the book, there was this premise that David was channeling a group soul that was composed of graduates of this realm, souls that got off the wheel of reincarnation and that now teamed up in other dimensions to be a helper and guide for beings still in this realm stuck in reincarnation. And the implication was, throughout the history of mankind, this group soul has made huge interventions, including having spoken through Edgar Cayce, including having been the voice that inspired many spiritual movements and religions, including Christianity. And it was like I was writing the book, and I'm saying, I mean, can I really be writing a book that brings forth the messages from the source that Jesus called Father? And it was a whole new look at Christianity and a whole new look at who Jesus was, a new way of understanding that. And yet it all fit in with the traditional Jesus. It fit in, but it added a whole new dimension of understanding about Jesus. And so I'm in the middle of writing this book, and 2 years into it, I have a new girlfriend, and she's listening. I shouldn't say girlfriend, I should say personal relationship. And we were driving from Los Angeles to Portland, Oregon, and it was pouring rain. I did a prayer protection, and at the end of the prayer, I said, does anybody want to talk to me? And truthfully, I was joking because I was writing this book, and she answers and says, we're here. What are your questions? And I was sure she was joking with me. I was sure she was kidding me. But I asked some questions, and there was this voice coming through her that answered them. And after a few minutes, she said, that's the strangest thing that ever happened to me. So I didn't know what to make of it. I didn't know who I was talking to. And I certainly had the concern at that time that maybe I had a negative source. In studying Wilcock, channelings, I became very knowledgeable about something that I had never even thought of before. And that was that when somebody channels, how do you know who's talking to you? And that there are negative sources on other dimensions that speak through people that are designed to mislead you. And of course, I had never read David Icke or heard of reptilians or grays or any of that stuff. I was kind of like a guy who was well-read metaphysically, but I didn't know all the intricacies of the greater universe. And so when Daphne started channeling, my first thing was, I better be careful. Who is this talking to me? And then a few days later, we were in Portland, and we tried it again. And that's when I said, how come she can do this? And they said, she was from another dimension. She was like a living cosmic library. And that there were different intelligences that were coming through her. Now, they identified themselves differently, but I also could start to feel the difference between them. I could feel the difference in energies between them. And on one level, there was a being that said they were Ptah. Then there was the Council of An, which, and then they didn't clarify themselves at first, but eventually they said they were a division of the Elohim. And then there was the Council of Elohim. And I Googled the word Elohim, and I came up with the creator gods of the physical universe, the name for God in the Old Testament, the name the Mormons use for God. And I asked them, are you the same Elohim? And they said, we're part of the same. And I didn't believe them. I mean, imagine, put yourself in my position. I'm writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. It took me a year to believe that David Wilcock was really Edgar Cayce, and that the source coming through Wilcock was responsible for the founding of Christianity and many other spiritual movements, and was one of the main figures, or figure is not the right word, one of the main interveners from other realms that were positive through the millennia of mankind, and that I'm writing the book about them, bringing their current message into a public forum, and suddenly I have a new personal relationship that announces to me that they're the Elohim and that they created the physical universe. Now, that's a lot to believe. I mean, it's off of my shoes. Believe me. I didn't want to believe it. It was too much responsibility. I mean, if they really were who they said they were, then there was something that I was supposed to do with it, and I had no idea what that was at the time. Plus, I was with Daphne. We had no money. We were living in a little apartment near a city called Pomona, California, and she was freaking out all the time. I mean, she was, I mean, I've learned now that they were panic attacks. I've learned that when you go really high and you reach into a source like the Elohim, you go through a lot of areas to get there that are we could say they're funky, and that as you go through those areas, there's demonic forces, there's reptilians, they all want to grab you and grab your energy and keep you from going. So if you're going to, like, reach a source like the Elohim, I'll tell you, if anyone attains to do that, forget about halfway house. You can't go there and come back, because then you get attacked. You got to hold the energy for it, or else you get a negative source that says they're the Elohim, and they will mislead people. This is one of the things I learned, but I didn't know this at the time. All I know is I have this woman that is hitting me on the shoulder saying, those guys want to talk to you. They turn a tape recorder on, and I'm having conversations, and I'm asking these really profound questions, and I said she could not answer that question. And then, of course, I mentioned earlier, they saved my sister's life. And so this was going on for a few years. I should say at the very beginning of this, and I probably was in 2002, perhaps in August, Daphne was freaking out so much of the time. She was so out of balance. It was almost like I could not pay attention to her. At the time I remember thinking of, I'm not really very good with high maintenance women, but it was much more than high maintenance, but that would have been the vocabulary I used at the time. And I had the feeling she was going to leave me. So I invited my friend Terry, who we've known each other for years, and we did business together. We sold things together. We were in multi-levels together. And I invited her over because I wanted somebody to witness us Daphne channeling. And that was kind of a classic channeling. And I think Terry is on the line. Are you on the line, Terry? Hello, Terry.
I'm on the line. I'm here. Yes.
Okay, I hear you. You know, I thought I would share with you, let Terry talk in her own words about what happened, because that's one of the unique things about this. It didn't happen in a vacuum. All the players, including Daphne, have decided that it was really important and are all staying in the loop of being available and making it happen in the world. And, you know, to my skeptical side, at one point, I'll share this later. Why don't you just share, Terry, what happened when I invited you to that session with Daphne?
Well, I really liked the energy, and I really liked the answers to the questions that they gave. And so I used that time. He asked me, he told me I could ask a couple questions. So I asked about them, which was very interesting. And then I asked if there was a way that I could learn to channel them, because I had a course in channeling in 1995, and they said, yes, I could. So then later on, after Daphne left, Wynn invited me over, and I came over, and then it was like there was a pressure tapping on the right side of my head, and I recognized the frequency from having been in the channeling with Daphne. And so they said to me that they wanted to speak to Wynn. And I said, when's asleep, can you speak to me and we'll talk and get acquainted with each other? And they said, no, we want to talk to Wynn. So I woke Wynn up and get the tape recorder out, and then they started coming through me, and he asked questions of me, and so then I was giving him answers. So it was a really good experience to be able to connect with that.
Thank you. You know, I'm walking around the house here, and I'm looking for the book. Maybe this book over here.
What, the reincarnation book?
No, 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 the other one.
The Creator
God. Creator God book. Hang on a second. Let's see if it's here. No, it's not here. Let's see if it's here. Okay. I think I'm getting it. Just a second. Nope. Here, this should have it. I actually, when this was going on, I think in 2003, I just decided to write, I better document my experiences, just write them down. And I wrote a book called Conversations with My Girlfriend. And
the original version of Creator God of the universe.
You're fading out, Wynn.
There we go. Should be on now.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay. So, I thought I would read here, like, a couple of the questions I was asking in that period of time, okay? And okay, just a second. I remember here that let's see. Here's some of the original dialogues. In researching the Elohim, they were described as one of the creator gods of the solar system. Are we talking to the same Elohim? And they answered, we are a division of what you would say. And I asked them, so when the original One Infinite Creator broke off and started creating the universe, where did the Elohim enter? Into the third dimension? Into being, into existence? And so they answered, Eta Carina. Now, I just spelled that the way they said it, and then I found out later I spelled it wrong, and that Eta Carina is the name of a galaxy, I believe, in the universe. That's the location in the universe, and it's, yes. And in Earth years, how many years ago? 78 billion years. And what point did the Elohim participate in the solar system? 4 million years ago. And what was the incentive to start that interaction? To protect the fledgling humanoid species. And then I asked them, was that human population bred or brought from another world? The combination of both. They were both brought and bred. And where were they brought from? And they say, we see the star Sirius. And then I asked, I believe the Mormon religion was started as an interaction between Joseph Smith and the Elohim. Is this the same Elohim? And they said, yes. And then I said, in the same council we're speaking with right now, with the same council impacting the beginning of the Mormons. And they said, yes. And that's an honorable position to be in communication. And, of course, that was not with Terry. Okay, now where's the one? Okay, here's Terry. Here's the session where Terry came over. And I'll just read a couple things here. So anyone who, anywhere, who is sincerely seeking could find a way to connect with this kind of communication. their answer if that is the intent of the recipient. Our frequencies, our information, our beingness is present for those who can properly receive it. How could someone who doesn't have the ability of this kind of channel, and of course we were talking about Daphne, how can they connect with the support of your counsel? By going deeply within the self for the answers that you seek, available universally to all. Question, why is it on this level that people cannot connect with or experience their connection with divine source? Elohim, because there are veils in place in this level and continue to be until you reach fifth and sixth density. You have chosen this as part of your evolutionary makeup, part of the design. When, if someone is living within their veils, what can they do to penetrate through their veils? What kind of exercise, if they had decided this is something they would like to lift above? And I remember, and this is me making a comment, when I asked that question, the answer was really profound. And I thought about it for many days thereafter. Because if you look at wisdom, and you look at somebody that is bringing forth wisdom, that stands on its own. It doesn't matter whether it's the Elohim, it doesn't matter whether it's Einstein, or Sartre, it doesn't matter, because it just stands on its own. So I ask this question, is how do you lift through these veils? They're saying that we have these veils, and that humans are stuck behind those veils. And they said, the answer to that was, first, there must be intention. Then there must be persistence. And then there must be vision of that what could be beyond the veil. These combined provide the backdrop for further dissolution of the mental structures holding in a person. Now, you know, I think it was that answer that a couple of years later said, I'm going to start these conference calls, because I realized that when someone became aware that they had veils and that they were blocked, it was not easy to get through that. And they said they needed persistence. They needed intention. And they needed vision of what was behind the veil. And so we've been doing these conference calls every week. And really, that is the intent behind these calls. We have talked about how things work on the other side. We've talked about so many different things. We have an archive of it. And it's actually worked, because there's many, many people that are listening to these calls that have had a great movement of consciousness shift as a result of the way this has impacted them. Then I asked them, does your counsel monitor and notice this, even though they haven't penetrated the veil directly? And then they said, the counsel notices and guides as much as is able those entities willing to perceive us on what you would term the other side. And then I said, many entities might be highly skeptical that such a council could be actually paying attention to these things on such an individual level with so many billions of people on this planet. Could you describe a little bit how that process works, how that noticing takes place? We see you as energy systems, as energy circuits. When there are particular bright spots, we know to pay attention to these. The bright spots are indicative that a person in your density has tapped into the greater collective field and is thus accessing consciously the required information to further free themselves from the confines of the third density. In this manner, we are able to pay attention to those among billions who are able to make the initial sojourn into the greater development and developmental entities awaiting higher galactic consciousness connection. Well, that was kind of blowing my mind. And yet, at the time that we did that, and at the time they said that, I had no idea how that actually worked. Now, every Sunday on these conference calls, we do a planetary and personal healing meditation. And we move our energies through the veil, and people can experience the expansion. They connect with us, and they talk with us as a group. We'll be doing that tonight before we're finished at 6:46. We can probably go a little over. If anyone wants to call from BBS, what is their number? Don gave it to me, and I wrote it down. 888-429-5471, 888-429-5471, and we'll give some room to get questions in. Or if you just want to say hello, let us know you're listening and you're one of the new people on the line. I'd love to hear that, to know that somebody is actually out there that is new. You know, there's this huge kind of inertia for someone new to figure this out and to get it. Now, I should say that's not necessarily true, because we got emails from people that said that I've understood these things for years, and it's so nice to hear you saying it in your book. So there's many people that have individually made connection, or at least they believe they have. Well, in any case, I'm asking all these questions, and then finally I said, Terry, you have questions. And she asked, what is it like to be you, and what is your relationship to love and light? This is an interesting question. We do not experience physical bodies as you would deem them on your Earth plane. We are an amalgamation of light intensities in these frequencies. Our life is centered around a central purpose or focus. We experience the collective as a oneness. We build using frequency of light harmonics, sacred geometry forms, such as would appear in your inner eye. We are not limited by those things which you would term earth limitations. We are not afraid of death. We do not take birth in the physical. Our lifespan would number many thousands of years of your lifespan. We pass consciously from one density to another. We perceive holographically. We do not experience fear as you experience fear. Does this answer your questions? Terry, how does time appear to you in relationship to us? Do we seem to be much slower in thought or beingness? Much more localized. We exist outside what you would call time as a linear construct. Therefore, we have the option of jumping around in and out of it as you would jump in and out of a swimming pool. Okay, so pretty interesting. Finally, Terry says something to the effect that, you know, there was a whole thing, I'm not going to read it, where my friend's dog was sick, and I said, can you help my friend's dog? And then I asked about Daphne, who was going through huge changes, and they said, current instrument is going through severe detoxification and realignment of energy patterns and nodes and grids within the body. It is taking time, taking its toll. It is good for the entity to balance alone time with people time, with eating more, grounding, and calling on her guides. There is intense internal trauma and doubt surfacing inside this instrument. She has reservations as to the nature of the work that is being presented to her. She must take it at her own pace and understand that it is free will and shall not be forced. And then Terry says, I love your energies. I hope I will be able to stabilize myself enough to contact you directly. And they said, it's a matter of willing and perseverance. If you try, you cannot help but to eventually succeed. It is in blessings and service that we give this time and information to you. And then I would say it was 3 weeks later, Terry comes over, wakes me up in the middle of the night, Daphne left, and she says, get the tape recorder out. Of course, she was just describing how she heard this tapping on her head. And they were saying they wanted her to relay a message to me. They didn't really have a message. They just kept saying, ask us questions. You know, if they had given me messages and they said, do this, do that, I probably would have not continued because I'm too independent. Personally, to just follow their messages, even if they are who they say they are. But as I came to understand this, that it was my independence that was a great value in the connection, because I was, number one, so hard and critical on believing this for myself. Once I did, once I took it to be real, I had the ability to help other people believe it's real. And the other thing I've learned, and this is a biggie, and I don't know if you'll understand this. I'll try to say it a couple of times. The key element in this realm is not following the Elohim. It is co-creating with each other. Co-creation. In other words, when we do our call on Sunday and we bring in their energies, we are co-creating together as a group to lift the energies above the veil. Even now, this is subtle, but even though I am talking and I'm kind of leading the conversation, my nature is co-creative. And co-creative does not mean partnership. It doesn't mean equal time. It means it's my turn. It could mean all those things. But what it means at this level is that I am feeling the energies of you. And as I feel them, I send them back. And in that interaction, we are co-creating. We are co-creating the space. And of course, it's voluntary on your part. Those of you listening are all at your own levels. Some of you are right with me, tracking the energy from second to second. Others of you are in your mind and you're thinking, is he for real? Is he a wacko? Is he insane? What's he doing? I don't feel anything. And, you know, if you approach a circumstance with a given thought form, the thought form that you approach it with is what you're going to find when you look at it. In other words, the best way to approach all of this is with neutrality. Neutrality means that I don't know if it's real, I don't know if it's not real, but I'm open to the possibility. If you approach it with doubt, that's not neutral. That's having a spin on the approach. That's having a prejudice. That is, I don't think it's real. Let me find what's wrong with it. And if you approach it with doubt, you're going to find reasons to justify your doubt, in spite of the fact that, you know, that you can look at this whole thing and keep on turning stones, and there's absolutely nothing that is being exaggerated or There's nothing that's not taped, that everyone is here and now, the people are here and now, and can you convert that into an experience that's valuable to you? One of the things that happened with Terry is that at a certain point, Daphne started to think that maybe this was important, and we started having conversations over the telephone, and she would channel, and at one point, I believe I asked Daphne, was Terry ever anybody famous? And I didn't expect them to answer. You know, they don't answer questions to appease my curiosity. They also don't answer questions to clarify religious things that would jeopardize the belief systems of other people that are working. For example, somebody is a traditional Christian, and they're using the traditional model of Jesus, and it's working for them because it can work. If it's working for them, they don't want to go on record to do anything to upset that apple cart that's working. But I did ask, was Terry anybody famous? And they said, look up St. Catherine of Siena, who I never heard of. But many of you are familiar with the pictures. I had learned in writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Casey about David Wilcock that people tended to look like their past lifetimes. And they also met the same people. And so Wilcock looked like Casey, his father looked like Casey's father. And the reason this is so, that I came to understand, was because your DNA transfers in your soul matrix. So when you die and your soul leaves your body, it has a computer program of your DNA in it, that when the DNA, now, or not the DNA, the soul comes into another incarnation and occupies the body, it programs that new body with the DNA of the old body. Now, of course, this is a speculative thing. You can't prove that. You can't even prove reincarnation exists. But you can prove that David Wilcock looks like Edgar Casey. You can prove that David's father looks like Casey's father. And numerous other people who look like people. And, of course, they're saying that when I asked about Terry, they said, look up St. Catherine. And who did we find but this story of a young Catholic woman in Siena, Italy, that would go down to the local church, and the priests and the nuns would write down everything she said because they thought God was speaking to them through her. And St. Catherine's dialogues with God are an official part of Catholic history, still available on Amazon. And Terry was the spitting image of St. Catherine. So that was amazing. I mean, that was like hitting me over the head with a sledgehammer, saying, Lynn, this is real. This is real. There were many episodes like that where circumstances unfolded that just couldn't have been coincidence, that were beyond the realm of probability that this voice coming through Daphne would pull a name out of the air, and I look it up, and it's a person who channels that is the spitting image of Terry. And, of course, there were many other things in the story that then made me feel connected to Terry's energy as I read the story of St. Catherine. So, basically, this is not about creating a new belief system. This is about creating a pivotal point where you can experience the resonance of these sources, where we make the premise that they can flow from wherever they are into this realm, and that their criteria somebody has to ask for their presence, and that we have the ability to ask for their presence and to feel them in our space. And that as we do that over and over again, then we learn to live within what I call an expanded hologram. We live within a space where we're no longer confined by the veil of the earth. We are outside of that veil, and things happen in our life to validate that that's going on. You know, when we do that, when you hear that idea for the first time, it's like when I heard that idea, I thought that I'm going to be out there in space, and I'm going to be seeing asteroids passing nearby, and that's not the way that it's worked for me. I have this great sense of expansion. I feel this energy, and it's hard to explain until you feel it, is extending from my body and around my body and way, way beyond my body. And I can feel the energy, but I can't see anything because my visual equipment is all just lined up to work with the body. So it's kind of like developing this testing relationship where you feel an energy and you say, is that it? And then you go back and feel it and say, is that it? Until you have certainty. Yes, that was it. Now you've made a connection with these sources. So if I'm to believe all that they've told me over the past years, then they're watching us right now. They're looking at you, even if you're here for the first time. And you might feel a presence near you. You might feel an opening of your energies. You might feel an expansion of your field, a tingling around your body. If you look up in your forehead, you might notice energy. You might notice light energy. And one of the things we can do on these calls is have them talk to you. And they can talk to us through Terry. And the leap of faith here is that this voice that's talking to us through Terry is the same energy, same consciousness that we're feeling on our foreheads. Terry, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Are you open to bringing in a little message?
Okay. It's after 7, so it'll be short.
Okay. Usually, we can go on a little late, because I don't think they have a show coming on after us. But this will just be a short one. And again, we'll make the idea that this voice that we're hearing is consciousness. They actually don't just say they're the Elohim. If you've been reading the work and paying attention, they're both a combination of both group souls, the group soul made up of graduates and the Elohim group at the beginning of creation. and that they can move through all the dimensions and arrive here as what they call love light energy. So I'm going to do a little invocation, a protective invocation, and I'll turn it over to them to read us. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry and myself and everyone present, everyone on the replay lines. And we take any negativity and release it into the higher realms of light for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of Earth, through our physical bodies coming in from the top of our head, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy, a blending of the energies of all of us present on this line and all those in future on the replay lines. And we see our energies touching each other. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. We'll wait for their message.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. On this day of the spirit of giving of Halloween and the Children's Day for Trick and Treat, we greet you in the spirit of giving. And we are available to connect with each and every person on the line or who reads a transcript or listens to an audio. We are here to offer our services and assistance, and we are available to connect to you. We have a very high frequency, which is for some who are connected so with the earth, with the minerals in the body, and with the frequencies of the third dimension. It is sometimes hard to know that we are there and to feel our frequencies. But we do see your frequencies and see you. And as we extend to you and you extend to us through the crown chakra, we meet and we do hear your requests. And we note at this time there are many more asking for assistance, which is good and will bring such assistance as needed, as it is deemed for the highest good. Do you have questions?
This is meant to be an introductory call, and I'm sure we have a few new people listening. Could you explain what would be the advantage to someone who's on the earth plane who was able to make a connection with your frequencies?
It is a frequency that brings love, it brings stabilization, and it brings a wider range of grounding to you, and if you connect very solidly with us, you begin to know that you are a valuable person. You are a treasured person. Your life is not totally about economic situations. And you are a treasured individual that is superior to the situations in which you find them. Situations which you are attempting to work through. You are a valued source. You are a creator in your own right. And you are the source of your creations. There are concepts beyond words here of the value of being a creator within your own life framework, of your potential to grow and to learn. And you are a life force that is participating and is a child of all that is, and not merely a clay body within the third dimension.
One of the things I've learned, that as you tune in to these higher frequencies, as you make connections, your vibration changes in this realm, and you start to impact things around you, not through your personality, not through your willpower, but through your vibratory field, which is now extending outside of your body, grounding into the earth, and touching other people. And that when you start doing this, you are doing an extremely high service in this realm, because you're changing the nature of reality in your space. You're turning it into a more loving space. And you don't always get thanks for this. Not everyone notices because it's subtle. But I know that's working. And I know that that's one of the great benefits that has occurred for people. We start making these connections, and sometimes it changes the nature of the relationships you're involved in and the people you love and care about. You have more ability to, you know, I think oftentimes when people use the word love in terms of their family, love turns into worry. And worry is not a loving energy. It's a concerned energy and a caring energy, but it can actually get close to fear. Worry and fear go hand in hand. And when you learn how to get above that and hold a loving energy, then you're creating an energy that gives the people around you the chance to lift themselves up and match your space, as opposed to be worried about them, in which case, when you're worried about people, oftentimes they can use you. They can abuse you because of your worry. Sometimes worry doesn't allow you to have the proper boundaries. So that's, I think that I've experienced that, and various people that have come into our lives have experienced that. And all of you who are listening, we have 3 calls a week. And if this resonates with you, then you're welcome to join our calls. Conference.messageaday.net, conference.messageaday.net. Occasionally we sell things for $3 or $5 or ask for donations. I hope you'll consider being supportive of us because this is all being done, you know, certainly not making a profit. And usually it loses money, and in spite of the fact that this is a very special thing in the world that we're doing, I believe it is, it probably gets most of the support after everyone's dead. So if you get into it and you're enjoying it, we really appreciate your donations. And I thank you on behalf of both Terry, myself, and Daphne for those of you who have been supportive of us. And if you'd like to, donations.messageaday.net, donations.messageaday.net, you can give any amount, and it's highly appreciated. And it also helps to connect you with the energies, okay? In the truth of the matter, in the oneness of everything, we're you. You're us. And by supporting us and feeling the connection, then you move into the oneness of the experience, and the energy comes back to you. So on that note, Terry, I don't know if you want to say anything from your human side, or if they'd like to say anything from their cosmic side. I'll just leave a space here, and then we'll close this show.
I'd like to thank everybody that is working with us, and we started sending blessings out every day. To all of you, and I hope that, well, the relationship, it's like your participation. I feel your participation, and it feels, it's really a good connection. And I want to thank everybody.
And thank you. Thank you for being so supportive of this work for all this time. Your own sacrifices. So thanks, Terry. And on that note,
all callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.